Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 66, Fear and Worry. Today is September 27th, 2008. I'm your hostess with the mostess. I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You can subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast at his blog, which is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. You can also make comments to the podcast or call our audio line. That number is 715-808-0318 and leave an audio comment. You can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Be sure to go to our website, www.pastorpaul.org, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to see links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, where you'll find a lot of pictures about Pastor Paul's mission, the podcast, where you can subscribe to the podcast, our store, which is being reconstructed, Twitter, follow me on Twitter, and YouTube, where we have one video currently, and a lot more on the way. Today's message was originally recorded February 22nd, 1985. It was a Friday night because the next message that we have, which is going to be episode 67, was recorded on the following Sunday. So you're going to want to subscribe to this podcast so you will get episode 67 sent to you. Now, today's message, a few points that I jotted down were these. All people have fears and phobias. So if you think you're the only one with any kind of fear, or that a fear that is turned into a big fear, which is a phobia, you're wrong. Everyone has fears. So that doesn't mean that it's good to have fear. We do not want fear. And as Pastor Paul's message, the last message about faith and fear, when you have fear, that means your faith has gone astray. The next time you're in a fearful situation, call on the Lord and your faith will set you free. We have to figure out, well, what are we afraid of? And he goes on to say that some people are afraid of death, which makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because if you don't know the Lord, for sure you don't know what's going to happen after you die. But then again, he says, some people are afraid of life. Now think about that. Afraid of life. That's a good one. So that's something to think about. Seducing spirits will be loosed from the pit. Seducing spirits will be loosed from the pit. Now, when you think about what's happening in our world today, think about seducing spirits being loosed from the pit. Another thing he says, which is really we need to keep an eye on the prize, is the Lord. Keep your eye on the Lord. When you take your eye off the Lord, you're going to have fear and worry. It's interesting because in the message he talks about the hobo bus. Now, the hobo bus was a cool bus. And what had happened in 1985 is basically we had some people who came in. They were part of the church for a short time, and they helped build this hobo bus, which is so cool. I'll describe it really quickly. The hobo bus was a school bus, number one. Number two, the seats in the school bus were turned face to face. We put a tabletop in the middle of them. We did that on one side, took all the extra seats out. On the other side, we had a countertop facing the, you know, underneath the window, and then some stools. At the very end of that side, we had a gas stove, and we used to go out. Jim, actually, who is our driver now, used to go out. And I was the cook at that time, so I would make, and we had huge kettles, 40-gallon cookers, 25-gallon cookers. I had enough cookers that I used to make 125 gallons at a time of, which the hobos loved, bean soup. And it was good, believe me. So I would cook up 125 gallons at a time of this bean soup in these cookers, and then we would put them in 5-gallon buckets, freeze them, and Jim would take a bucket of this soup out. We'd heat it up in a double cooker on the stove, so all day it would be heating up. And then we would take ARA sandwiches, which are vending machine sandwiches, put them in the oven and heat them up. And we would have volunteers who would make sandwiches and lunches, really nice lunches. So Jim would take the hobo bus out. He'd take the soup, strap it down onto the stove. He would take the sandwiches out and the lunches and any kind of clothing donations we received that would fit the hobos, you know, as far as, you know, gloves or hats or scarves or blankets we would take out. And he would go under the bridge where actually now the Target Center is built and has been there. But that's where he would meet them. And people would come from all over to go to the hobo bus. And he did that for a few years. Every day, he didn't miss a day. And eventually they started to build the Target Center. We had to move the bus. And finally, you know, we had to just close down the ministry. But it was quite a time. So Pastor Paul is talking to some of the people who helped build the hobo bus. And then another cool thing was that the bus was, and you can see pictures of the hobo bus at Flickr. I've got a few pictures of the bus there and some of the people that came. The thing is we had the youth groups painted the bus. So it was really, they really did a good job painting the bus. And you can see the pictures on Flickr. So check that out. Another thing he does in this message that's kind of cool is he talks to, when Pastor Paul ministered on stage, he talked to the radio and tape ministry through the a radio and a tape. He would put them on a chair and then he would also talk to them directly by faith. And he had the largest radio audience in the Twin City area that would go and listen to his messages. They were aired on KUXL 130 to 2. And then eventually they had a national come in and take his spot. And so he stopped the ministry on the radio. Was too expensive also. So today the podcast is so cool because we can do the podcast. It's perfect that we can send you Pastor Paul's messages and they are just as current today. If I didn't tell you when it was recorded, you would have no idea. Anyways, the last point here is that he says there are scoffers in the body of Christ. Okay. So let's not be scoffers. That's it. It's a great message. And you're going to find links to the scriptures in the blog. So be sure to go there. Again, subscribe to the podcast. And the last couple of weeks, I've been, you know, my schedule has been a little bit off. So today's Saturday. I'm going to continue to bring the podcast, though, every Friday. So look for that next message next Friday. The name of that podcast is The Way Involves Suffering. It isn't that bad. Suffering. And remember that whatever happens in these crazy times, that God is in charge and you can't buy love. So there you go. You got to give it away for free. God bless you and have a great week.
On the way again, away from fear and worry. I started to think about this message last week when a couple people come in. They were so full of fears. Wherever I go now, I find that people are full of fears. Or they're worrying, or they're upset. I was down inside of the bus the other night, and there was two large fellows there, two big, beautiful Indian men. Both of them are pretty well inebriated. And they almost started to fight with one another. I mean, they were so big, there was like 500 pounds between them, kind of going back and forth in this bus, rocking the boat, we call it. So I went over and I started to minister to the one, and he really received. And he got up to the front of the bus, and I saw in this man, the Lord spoke to me and says, he's full of fear and he's full of worry. And I said, what happened to your eye? He says, well, I got in a fight and a guy kicked me in the eye. And I can't see out of that eye, and I've got to go into the hospital. I'm really fearful. So I says, I'm going to pray for you, but first you're going to get Jesus as your personal Savior. And I led his brother to the Lord just before that. And then I led him to the Lord, and I prayed for him, and he started to weep. And he started to hang on me, and it felt like a house hanging on me, you know. And he started to weep, and I says, you know what? I really believe that Jesus touched you tonight. I believe that something happened to you, and he's gonna take away all that fear and all that worry. Wherever you go. And he put on this great big tough front. And inside he was crumbling. And so I got this message from the people that I ministered to this week. And a woman came in. She was all fearful. And I thought, boy, here are two enemies of power and peace. And they are fear and worry. So I started to build on this message. And I found out there were two kinds of fear. One is beneficial and the other is unbeneficial. One is efficient and the other is inefficient. Because to fear unwisely is destructive, but to fear wisely is good, and it's mental hygiene. That's like a driver who has no fear of breaking the rules. I was out in Brooklyn Park and two boys were speeding. They were going down the road. They were going about 60, and there was a little poodle that came out in front. They were just laughing and had no fear of traveling down that street at that speed. And they hit this little poodle, and up in the air it went. They had no fear. That was kind of stupid, wasn't it? There would have been a good fear there to obey the rules, wouldn't there? Or a pilot that has no fear of the laws of flying. Isn't that dangerous? Okay, folks, hang on. We're going to try something now. He didn't know the rules. We're going to do one of these dive loops, you know. Or a surgeon who has no fear of cutting in the wrong places. Isn't that a dangerous person? Oops, I'm sorry. I cut in the wrong place. I don't know what got into me. Well, we have the druggist who mixes a little of this and a little of that. Isn't that dangerous? And then he waits around to see what happens to you. Well, how'd you make out with that last concoction? Or the builder who says, well, that should hold. The house should stand. Oh, put a couple nails in it. Don't be so particular. Then we have moms that have a healthy fear, and then we have moms that have an unhealthy fear for their children, don't they? And I believe these parents can transmit fear to their children. My mother was always afraid of gas explosions, so she always checked the gas. So every time before I left the house, and I was, you know, when we were married, I'd check the gas. Wait a minute, I'm going inside. I'd check the gas. I'd go back outside again. Run back inside again, check it again. Probably checked it about four or five times before I would leave the house. She had transmitted this fear onto me. And so that can be a bad fear. And don't get paranoid over a little dirt. Some women, they get paranoid over a little bit of dirt. Oh, Junior, your hands are so dirty. But on the other hand, you don't let your kid walk down Hennepin Avenue at the rush hour. So there's two kinds of fear here that we're talking about. There's natural fears. Then there's those fears that we should direct, those ones that we should have about jumping off of buildings or playing with fire or walking against red lights. But the fears that I'm talking about tonight are anxieties, on the other hand. And these are fears without an object, and they are caused from a threatening impulse within. And there seems to be an atmosphere of fear all over. Wherever that you go, people are fearful. They have a sort of a gut-freezing fear, sort of a nauseating fear that sort of consumes them. The Lord says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. See, a lot of people are fearful the check doesn't come right on time. It's 3 days late. You see them up at the post office a lot of times down here on our beautiful north side, running up to the post. What happened to my check? Where is it? It's supposed to be here. Fearful. No, we've got to break that fear. We've got to tell them, there's one that you can count on, the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it in his hands. Or what should I do in this situation? I wonder if I can do it. Why can't I love people? I wonder if people know my thoughts. Does it show on my face? Phobias. And today we're dealing with people with all types of phobias. Attached to objects, in themselves not dangerous. I had an aunt years ago that was deathly afraid of bacteria. Aunt Mabel. I mean, anything that she washed it two or three times. You know, it says in the Bible, what you fear will come upon you. And for 20 years of her life, she laid in bed, all gnarled up. When I went over to see her, well, I guess it was about 5 or 6 years ago now, the Lord showed me that she had the spirit of fear that put her there. She was just like that. And she was afraid of germs and bacteria. And all over, we're working with people that have these fears. They don't want to mention them. But inside of everyone, there's some kind of fear, some kind of phobia, and we have to deal with it. It's not a God. I remember a boy some years back I went to minister to, and he had gloves on. He had on these white gloves, and I said, why do you have these white gloves on? He says, oh, there's germs all over, you know. And he says, I don't want anybody to touch me. And he says, I can't touch the door handle because other people have touched the door handle. And I said, well, how do you go to the restroom? He says, well, I kick the door open and I slide inside. And then if there's somebody inside there, then I wait till they go out and then I dash outside because I don't want to get the germs that are on the door handle. And I thought, I wonder how many people are like that. And you know what? There's a whole lot of people like that. That are walking around with a whole lot of little phobias. And it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up, and you get some kind of nut walking around. And that's what's happening right now. We got a whole lot of fearful people walking around, and they need ministry. And the ministry is God has not given you over to the spirit of fear. I ministered to this woman this week, and she came in, and she was so full of phobias, I didn't believe it. And I thought, my Lord, phobias like don't breathe on me, driving a car, flying, toilets. Some people, when they go to the bathroom, they gift-wrapped the toilet. Crowds. Going to church. Getting a job. Going through an interview. They're afraid of the people. They're afraid of the challenges. They're afraid of the future. They're afraid of the past. They're afraid of the present. They're afraid of the eternal. They're afraid of the heights and the depths. The Bible says, nothing shall separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Neither height nor depth nor principality nor powers, things to come. Nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. Nothing. Hallelujah. And that's what people got to hear, the glorious gospel. But people all over are fearful. They put it on TV about all the deodorizers you need, and by the time the person's wondering if they put it on or not, they're just a nervous wreck. Say amen, somebody. People are afraid of windy days. People are afraid of going bald. Say amen, somebody. They're afraid of dogs and cats and birds and insects. Oh, God. I'll never forget my first date I went on. And the girl was fearful, and I knew it, and it put fear on me, too. And so I was driving down the road, and every sign she had to read, eat at Joe's, curve, Route 66, Donaldson's, Dayton's, you know. And by the time we got to where we were going, we were so upset, we didn't even want nothing to eat. You understand what I'm saying? And people are all bound up because they don't know they can just be their self in Jesus Christ. They don't know they can just be themselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have to act out any part, but they have all these things that are bothering them, all these phobias that are attacking them all the time. Sounds silly to you? There's a whole lot of you in here tonight. There's a whole lot of you listening on the radio and listening to this tape right now are filled with phobias. You don't have to have them. How many in here know that you got some kind of phobia? Say amen, somebody. There are so many people I've ministered, they're afraid to death of dying. That makes sense? They're already dead. Don't fear it at all. Then there's some that are afraid of living. They're not living at all either, are they? Then I found out there's a whole lot of people who put on outwardly, and they are brave outwardly, and they're full of fears. Sometime back when I was riding motorcycles, guy in front of me had this great big bike. I don't know, it was 1,000cc, whatever. Anyway, he's riding on this thing, and he's going around curves, and he had his hands off of the thing, and he was going like this, and he was going like this, and he was going like this, and he was turning his corners. You know why he was doing all that? Inwardly, he had a lot of fear. He was overcoming his fears. Say that, somebody. Woo! So we have those. So it's not always the jumpy. It's not always the nervous, the bug-eyed, the finger-popping, the shaky-handed, the cold-sweated, the twitching, belching, roll-aid people that have fears. But a lot of times it is the calm, sedate, the no-shake, the easy grin, the take it on the chin. These ones I find are infected with a whole lot of fears. And they've got to be brought forth. I think if you had a confession time, well, people would just be honest and come out with all of their fears. And in the name of Jesus, you would call those things out and cast those things out, and in the name of Jesus say, receive his peace. You'd find out that it is the same devil, the same curse that's on people right now today. How many are hearing this word today? Woo! Well, I want to tell you something. I hope tonight to deal with all these fears. Listen to this in Psalm 123. To thee I lift up my eyes. Seems to me David says unto the hills, but here he's gone beyond. To thee I lift up mine eyes. He goes beyond the hills here, and he looks unto the Lord. O thou who art enthroned in the heavens, look beyond yourself and look on to God. Beyond yourself and on to God. Now listen. Behold, as eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master. What does that mean? God's arm is not shortened. Now in the East, they don't talk a lot to their servants, to their slaves. They just point their hands and they use their eyes. And I think when we're really observing the Lord Jesus Christ, we're waiting to do his will. We should wait like a slave, saying, Lord, which way do you want me to go? And we should be watching for the will of the Lord. And sometimes the will of the Lord will send you where you don't want to go. But if you're an obedient servant, if you're one that wants to move ahead in the Lord, every time his hand moves this way or that way or come, you're gonna just obey without arguing with God. And you know what? You lose all your fear because your attention is on God. You're a slave to love. God is love, not a slave to fear. Glory to God. And when God has your attention, whatever gets your attention, hallelujah, gets you. Are you hearing this? If God has your full and undivided attention, he has you. And when your attention is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will lose those fears. What stops people from doing things? Fears? Say amen. Oh, it does. If we can point people towards Jesus Christ, if we can say, Jesus is the way, and that's what I've been ministering on for some weeks now. Jesus is the way. There is no other way. And they can focus all their attention on the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing to lose those fears.
Oh, what a wonderful thing not to have a drink before you do something. My God, how beautiful it is to get up in the morning and don't have the shakes. Why do we drink and why do we take drugs? Because we have fears. We can't make it without it. Say amen, somebody. I remember after I first got saved, the devil would speak to me. You know, you could do a lot better if you had a drink. It would calm your nerves down. I knew it was the devil. Shut up, you're a liar. And I spent 9 months going through deliverance. I was up every night. I only slept maybe 2 hours a night fighting with the devil. See, I got saved when I was 40 years old. So when you're 40 years old and you've started to live out in the world when you're 9 years old, you've got a lot of living behind you. You got a lot of fears behind you too. Fears like you've never had before, but praise the Lord, to thee I lift up mine eyes, O Lord, hallelujah, my maker. You know all about me, and I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to pick up the plow, and I'm not going to turn back. I'm going to press forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ, and glory to God, you're going to take me through, and you're going to show me what you want me to do, and that which you show me, I'm going to do, and with no reserve either. Say amen, somebody. Then it goes on, behold, as the eyes, and I'll read it again, of the servants look to the hand of their master. Everything is in his hand. He's got, the song says, the whole world in his hand. Praise the Lord. And as the eyes of the maid, the hand of her mistress. Now even there, in the East, they have the eyes of the maid. Why? Because they were much more disciplined than the man. Boy, when they snapped their fingers, them women snapped too. Whoo! So our eyes look to the Lord our God until he be gracious to us, until he give us mercy. Oh, we need mercy. Look unto the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Oh, it's a time like never was before to put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't turn left or right. There are so many deceiving spirits on the left and so many deceiving spirits on the right. There are so many down spirits. There are so many things going on right now that can just destroy your faith. And you know what it is? Self. Looking at self instead of Christ. Now you get to look at yourself. That's enough to scare anybody. Do you ever try to bolster yourself up and go to the mirror when you're all shaky and fearful? Buck up there! You know, it won't last very long. As soon as you leave the mirror, you're going to fall down again. No? I'm going to tell you, in the end times, it says many seducing spirits are going to be loosed from the pit. Now, who's going to loose them from the pit? The Lord. You know what that's going to mean? That means you're going to have to turn all your attention on the Lord Jesus Christ to make it through. No other way. Now, don't fall for all that sidetracking that Satan is going to give you. Put your eyes on Jesus. He's watching. Say amen, somebody. And you know what he's watching? He's watching the ministers of the gospel. Say, are you ministering gospel? Are you ministering self? You know what a gospel message is? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Oh, yes, we've heard that before. We don't want to. Oh, when you see these transformed life, and when that man got on the bus that I led to the Lord, was he not changed tonight? Isn't that exciting? My God, that's exciting. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it exciting? Yeah, isn't it? My God. Oh. That tickles me inside. His great huge man changed with the eye popped out, hanging out of his face. Changed. Fear gone. Worry gone. Hope coming in. Oh, glory to God. What more is there? Is there any more? You got to give of yourself to gain your life. You're going to become a boring boob if you don't do it. If you try to save your life, my God, you'll ruin everybody around you. Give it over. How many heard that one? Be gracious to us, O Lord. Be gracious to us. Says it twice. Have mercy on us, O God. Have mercy upon us, he's saying. For we are greatly filled with contempt. Oh, me? I'm not full with any contempt. Hey, I was delivered of every little smidgen of it. No. Mercy, God. And I say it again, mercy. There's contempt in me. My God, I need mercy every day. And I got my eyes off of you just a couple of times today. And what happened? I got full of contempt. You know what you do when you go to court and you get in contempt of court? They put you in jail. And that's what the devil does to you. You get in contempt. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, for we are greatly filled with contempt. Our soul is greatly filled with scoffing of those who are at ease. Are you envious over someone that's sluggarding out? Oh, they ain't having no fun. I don't care what kind of a silken couch they're laying on. They ain't having no fun unless they're busy in the Lord. 24 hours a day. Just pray at night when you go to bed. The 4 hours you should be sleeping. You hear that, slugs? I got a sluggard audience. Oh, God, you know what we forgot to do? We forgot about the radio audience. My goodness. Woo, sorry. And the tape ministry. Here you go, gang. There they are. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease. And with the contempt of the proud. Let me read that again so we understand it. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease. The people that are at ease and not doing anything are scoffing at those that are busy. Because they have nothing better to do. They're at ease. Now, you see somebody just laying around. They just, man, that's all they can do is just peek out of the shade. Oh, what are they doing out there? Oh, man, they're crazy. Huh? Did you know that? If somebody isn't doing something, they're scoffing. And they even have scoff on their face. Ever a scoffers, you are ugly. Go to God's beauty parlor. Oh, I know in my ministry I get scoffers. Because they aren't doing anything. My God, all they can do, they're at ease. So they just sit down and they scoff. You know what I mean, a scoff face? I bet a lot of faces change as soon as I mentioned that on the radio. Scoffers! They are ugly. Have you ever seen a scoff face? It's a long face. A long, ugly face. You know what I'm talking about? It's not round and full and smiling and happy. It's long. And it's scoffing.
Yeah? So what?
Huh? How many know there were scoffers in here yet tonight? Oh, you always got them when you're doing something. If people ain't doing something, they got to have something to talk about. They got to scoff. And they are the ugliest crowd. Say amen, somebody. God, they're ugly. How do you know that? I used to be a scoffer. Whew, an ugly one, let me tell you. Are you hearing this tonight? If you're not doing something and you're at ease, you're a scoffer. Because you got to try to make yourself look good. Say amen. And the busier you get, Christians. Now, I'm talking not only to this audience. No. We're talking radio tape. We're talking Africa, maybe even Sweden and Norway. We're talking pretty much world. We're talking to the community of Jesus Christ, there are a whole lot of scoffers.
We invited 1,900 churches to come here. Only one recognized ministry made it. One recognized ministry, and that wasn't even a church. Out of 1,950. Isn't that sad? But you know what the Bible says? Got kind of quiet in here. You know what the Bible says? The Lord invited all these people in, but they wouldn't come. One says, I just bought some cattle today. I want to go check them out. This was at supper time. It's dark out. Another one says, I just got married and I won't be able to come to the feast. What wife doesn't like to go out and eat? Huh? Another one says, I bought a field. And so Jesus says, when the man come back, he says, okay, forget about him. Go to the highways and byways and get the layman halt. Bring him in. Bring in all the folks. And do you know that day at this church, we had a crowd of people. And you know what we had down here? A feast. Did you know in the body of Christ right now there's a whole lot of deadness? And you know why there's a whole lot of deadness? We are not preaching gospel. Wherever that you preach gospel, there is life. Oh God, let us not be fearful to preach the gospel. Let's not be like little rats with a gospel. Oh, little fearful rats that poke our heads out to see if anybody... Poke our heads out, see if anybody's out there that could see us, you know. And then somebody comes along, we poke back in again. And we poke back out again. Huh? Huh? Isn't that the way it is? Little rats. Right? Huh? Oh, God, it's so much fun if you only get into it. And you know why you're so miserable? You're into yourself. Oh, that will give you a gut ache. People right now are dying of fear. God. You know, they used to separate all this. They had a doctor for the body. Then they had a doctor, the psychiatrist for the mind. Then they had the minister for the soul, but that's no more. They're all one. Did you know that? They're all sort of intermingled. It all boils down to the spiritual. It all boils down to in Jesus Christ, there is life. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to all the mental problems. Jesus is the answer to all the fears and guilt and resentments. Jesus is the answer. Jesus. Hallelujah. The gospel message has got to go forth. People are afraid right now all over. The guy said, I didn't win. No, what do you mean you didn't win? Well, I didn't win. I ran this so-and-so race, and I didn't win. I know I'm better. Maybe I'm slipping, huh? What's the result of that kind of thinking? It ruins people. They become sick. That's what we have right now in the body of Christ. There's a sickness going on. Maybe I can't win. You've already won in the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times here on earth, if you're ministering gospel, you look like a loser. I want to tell you folks something. In my ministry, many, many times, I have looked outwardly like a complete loser, and I have felt like one too. Say amen. Huh? Felt like a total, but feelings didn't have a thing to do with it. I didn't look to the hills or the people peeking up over the hills. Huh? I looked beyond the hills and the heads that were peeking over the hills, and I looked unto the Lord. Shaming somebody. And the Spirit of the living God is watching those that are looking over the hills and over the heads of the people looking over the hills and onto Him. And don't you forget it. Shaming somebody. God is doing a great and mighty work for those that aren't afraid to go ahead and just go preach the gospel. Preach it. Oh, there's so much anger. There's so much jealousy and there's so much fear. You know what? It shows up on our makeup. You start to get pot marks on your face and you start to get things wrong with your physical makeup. Why? It all comes from these things right here. It starts to break down your whole body. Starts to break down your whole mental state. You think bad thoughts about people, it starts to break you down. You start to have the scorner face. I want to make a sign hanging on people. Scorner puss. Stay away from. Dangerous. Isn't that right? Do you ever get full of scorn some days? Oh, some days I get full of it. Scorn, scorn, scorn. Scorn, scorn, scorn. Scorn, scorn, scorn. Huh? Did you ever get that way? Sure you have. Haven't you? Haven't you? Get full of it? You're scornful. Scornful of the kids. Scornful of the husband. Scornful of the work. Scornful. Full of scorn. Well, the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Personal Savior. My. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's light. You know when you get saved? You get saved out of darkness. The Lord is my light, my salvation. So now you get a whole lot of light. You know what it shows? It shows everything that's wrong with you. But when you get in the light, all these things that are wrong with you drop off. Who wants to be walking around with all that on you? It's all right in the dark. But when you get the light, you start to get intelligence. Hey, I don't want these things, these grudges hanging on me, and I don't want these things wrong with me. I just don't want them. How many people? I ministered a couple weeks ago about people holding all these old grudges. Oh, my. The Lord is my light, my understanding, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Hey, if you dread anybody or you fear anybody, you better fear God. When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh. Oh, you know what? In the human nature, there's something so vile. When folks encircle a person, maybe it's one in a family that they call them the black sheep or whatever. It's one in the family that goes wrong or something like that, or one in the church or whatever like that, or a ministry that starts to slip a little bit. It's a funny thing. It's delicious to those that like to devour others, and it's just like they're eating their flesh ravenously. Is it something or isn't it? That's why we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Or the Bible says, devour one another. Is that right? Oh, God. You ever watch people devour other people? They start to pick on them like one of the little chickens that isn't big as the other little chickens, and they just start pecking at them. Peck, 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 peck. Oh, God. How many know we need Jesus every day? My adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Ooh. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. You know, before the battle is the worst time.
Though a host encamp against me before the battle. When I was boxing, it was before the first blow was thrown that gut fear was there. Huh? It's before you have that battle of going in for that job that the host of the devil are around you. It's before that you make up with a person that host is encamped about you. It's before that you deny yourself something that host is encamped around you. And that's the biggest thing to overcome before the battle, before you say I'm sorry, before you go in for that job, before you take that first step in faith. That's when that host encamp against me. And he says, my heart will not fear. Why is that? He's got experience. What we need in the body of Christ is experience. The first day we were down there, remember that little guy that was out there and he was ranting and raving and carrying on? You know what was wrong with him? He was fearful. Plain and simple. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. No matter when the war comes, I'm going to be confident. You know why? Because I'm looking beyond all that and I'm looking onto the Lord. Before the war in your lives comes up against you with the husband or the wife or with the conditions in your life or what you've done, my God, forget it. Pray for forgiveness and forget it and go on. Before all these things, don't let fear stop you from moving ahead and forgiving. That's the hardest part. Walking up to the person and saying, my God, for the grace of God, I could have done the same thing myself. I'm sorry. Forgive yourself and go up and go against that thing. And even when the war is raging. I remember one time Jan and I were going to it. And she started to laugh. And I started to laugh, and we both started to laugh. You know why we were laughing? Because we both had scornful faces. Yeah, boy, you look funny. So do you. That's what you have to do, though, isn't it? You have to laugh about it. Oh, how the body of Christ needs a good gut buster. Say amen, somebody. How husbands and wives need to have a good gut buster. How we need to forgive one another and how we need to just say, hey, don't matter. God's dealing with you. He doesn't have to deal with the other person. He'll deal with the other person, but he won't deal with the other person through you. He'll deal with you. I asked God one time, I says, hey, this guy's 99 points wrong. I admit I could be 1 point wrong in that I'm here. God says, well, I'm dealing with that 1 point. Don't you worry about the 99 points over there. And with your attitude, it'll probably take longer than the 99 points on that guy. Now, the point is, if you're 1 point wrong out of 100, you're all the way wrong. Now, just to forget about this person over here, if you're 1 point wrong, it's like the Ten Commandments. You cannot keep the Ten Commandments. That's why Jesus Christ came. You break one of the laws, you've broken them all. There's no way you can keep them. Jesus did the job. If you're 1 point wrong, you're all the way wrong. You want to get all the way right? Admit that you're wrong. Don't worry about the other person at all. It'll take away all the fear, and it'll take all away the worry and the anxiety and everything. It'll just leave. Wash right down the tubes. Don't worry about it. How many hear what I'm preaching here tonight? There's so much. Oh, God. So much tension that we got to lose this tension. Just lose all the tension. You ever notice when you have tension, your gut's all bound up? You're off your feed. That's what they say about animals. Oh, he's off his feed. That little filly must be a little bit nervous.
It's the same way with people. They get off their feed. Huh? They don't eat right. They don't feel right. They don't sleep right. They can't talk right. They start to get fearful. They start to gibber. What'd you say? What? You know what they call them? Gibbering idiots. Did you ever have a day when you were a gibbering idiot? When your thoughts are disconnected? And then you said something and said, well, where'd that come from? That come from your scornful gibber head. You're upset all the time because you can't get it together. You can't get it together because you're not looking on up over the hills and over the heads and onto the Lord. Oh, God, how we need to preach the gospel, how we need to preach to people that, hey, your whole chemistry depends on how you receive Jesus. Your whole makeup. Well, you know, if there's a sickness there, 90% of the time you can trace it down to your relationship with Jesus, and your relationship to Jesus depends on how you're treating others. You know what? This whole thing that I'm talking about here tonight could heal many of the people of all kinds of ailments. Because emotional states have an effect on the digestive tract first. Yes, they do. Either you get diarrhea or you get bound up. Either people give you the diarrheas or they bind you up. How many are hearing this? Don't they say that, and isn't it true? How many are hearing this tonight? Oh, God. Woo! What does it say here in Psalm 56, verse 3? When I am afraid, isn't that beautiful? Here's David. This great warrior, this champion among champion, the slayer of tens and tens of thousands. When I am afraid, he admits I'm afraid. You know, there's a ministry that goes on and says, oh, you're never afraid. You are afraid. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. You can't put your trust in the Lord. Something has to push you to God. There's a good kind of fear that pushes you towards God. When I am afraid, you mean you're afraid? A lot of times I'm afraid. How many are afraid a lot of times? Sure you are. I will put my trust in thee, in God whose word I praise. Now when you put your trust in the Lord, that opens you up to praising him. When you trust in the Lord and you get that release from that fear, you say, praise the Lord, you're free. Your guts are in shape again. You're on your feet again. I will praise thee. Well, if you trust in the Lord, it opens you up for praise. And you know what? When you start to praise the Lord, it says, the praises, he inhabits the praises of his people. He lives right in your praises. Ooh. And that will wipe away the fear. There we are with that fear again. Now listen. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Oh, wow. Isn't that beautiful? All day long they distort my words. No, people can distort your words. Doesn't matter. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited to take my life. He has learned to trust in the Lord. Oh, like never before, we have got to learn how to start to trust in the Lord. Oh, God. So many times we're tempted to walk off this way or walk off that way. Oh. Trust in the Lord. Every day now, something comes up where I have to fully put my trust in the Lord. Something comes up. Some catastrophic thing is happening, seems like every day. But through experience, through going through the battles, through knowing my God, I have learned to trust in the Lord.
Woo!
Oh, I foresee great things down here on the north side. Today, says they were going to go to, that's, by the way, 16,800 individual packed pizzas. I ran to the computer and tapped it out as fast as I could. Praise the Lord. We were running low. And so now the worry and the fear come in. What are we going to do with 1,400 cases of pizza? The answer is very simple. We give them away. Monday morning, we got to be out there at 8 o'clock, Dick, out to Totino's out there in Fridley, Pillsbury Totino's, to pick up 1,400 cases. Now, the guy asked me, I felt like this, that's all, folks, you know. Can you handle 1,400 cases of pizza? Yeah, sure. That's almost as good as 3 tons of liver or 5,000 chickens. But see, I've learned how to trust in the Lord. Now, if you can be trusted with the little things like 16,800 individual pizzas, you know how we got those? They were supposed to go over to the east someplace so they have Arabic written on them. And they can't put them on the food shelves because they overmade them. They can't put them on there because nobody knew what was inside the package, so they had to give them to us. So Janine was sitting in there, and I was just watching her. She says, 1,400 pizzas, that's 1,400 cases, that's a lot of pizza. And I could just about read what she was saying. I was reading in back of what she was saying. What are we going to do with 1,400 cases of pizza? I let her ask that question. It must have been about 6 times. She was gorking out. And I said, well, we're going to give them away. Now, if we can be trusted with the little things, like 16,800 pieces, get ready. You're liable to get 500,000 live turkeys wandering in here. Gobbling around. Oh, God. Ooh. Are you hearing this? Why fear? The woman called up and she said, well, I had prayed with her. She says, I got all this heart problem. I just got this and I got that. And I said, no, I says, I don't think you have any kind of heart problem at all. As I started checking her out, I found out that she was spoiled. She was unhappy in her marriage. She had an unfaithful husband. She had a fear of divorce. And I told her, I says, in nothing be anxious. But in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. You know what? There was nothing wrong with her at all. Oh, God. Fear. Like that fear of taking on big things like we did here with all them pizzas. Oh, God. Psalm 118, verse 5. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. here again. He learned how to call upon the Lord.
And the Lord answered me.
Well, now, do you believe the Lord's going to answer you when you call upon Him?
And set me in a large place.
What a small place that is when we live within our own fears. You know why it's small? Because you can be at a whole table of people and you have these rats of fear running around inside your head, all these Mises is running around inside of your head up in there. You aren't hearing a word they're saying. You're not hearing a word your kids say. You're not hearing a word the preacher says. You're not hearing nothing. Because it's such a small place.
He set me in a large place. The Lord is for me.
How many know the Lord is for you?
If the Lord is for me, who can be again me? I will not fear.
Doesn't it sound like he's kind of talking himself into it?
Hey, he's talking. Now his brain is working, you know.
Man, this is a heavy situation. Wait a minute.
The Lord is for me. I will not fear.
Isn't it funny? But don't they run together?
Fear comes in and pushes you into faith. They sort of walk hand in hand. One overcomes the other. What can man do to me?
Wow. Don't worry about what people can do to you. The Lord is for you.
He has delivered you and set you in a large place.
You know why? Because in your distress you called upon the Lord. Oh, glory to God that in my hour of need I learn to call upon the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If we'd only learn that. To call upon the Lord. Do you have times of unbelief? Oh, you do. Sure you do.
And it shows on the faces.
When people have periods of unbelief. Because a believer is, man, they're believing. And believing makes you alive. Because believers are full of life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall live. When you start to unbelieve, you start to unlive. You start to unwind. You wind down. Isn't that happening? Christians all over, they have wound. Down. They're wound down.
Boy, that guy's wound up. Get wound up for the Lord. What's happening? What's that? What, Lord? What next? Huh? Unwound Christians all over the place. What unwound you?
Living in a small room. Something didn't happen that you wanted to happen. And it's got you unwound.
Something that you wanted to do ever so bad, and it didn't work out. Well, did you ever stop to think it wasn't the will of the Lord? Huh? Now, if you say, Lord, your will be done no matter what happens, and I want your will in what's going to happen to me before it comes to me to happen to me. Then I won't have nothing to fear.
But when something doesn't happen, aren't we like little kids? What's wrong?
Didn't happen.
Oh, glory to God, it didn't happen. Probably saved your life. Lose your life in self and gain your life in Christ. I remember one time, some gals gathered together a big amount of money for me to go to Israel. You know? Maybe they're trying to get rid of me. I don't know. No, they wanted me to take a trip, and I had been preaching up in Wisconsin all these years up there, traveling that whole circuit. I was going up there twice a week, coming home, driving in the ditches at 4 in the morning. They got me these tickets, and I said, God, I want to know your will. It would be nice to go there, though, you know. I had these thousands of dollars to make this trip. And the Lord spoke to me. And I got my message on, why are you going to Israel? He says, no, no, Paul. I have risen. I'm not in that tomb. The life that you now live, you live in Christ, and Christ lives in you. I didn't go. Some of the people got so mad they demanded their money back. I wanted to put it into the camp, you know. We want our money back! We wanted you to leave! No, they didn't exactly put it that way, but they were nice about it. They had all given their money so that I could have this nice trip. But see, it was not the will of God for me to go. That's just like some time back I got the thought, gee, we're getting all this mail from Africa, and we got these 750 tapes going to all these preachers, so they asked me to come over. And, oh, I just sort of got puffed up, you know. Well, suppose I could go to the Dark Continent over there. And I saw myself with a Jungle Gym hat on and short pants and a fly swatter. I'm no fool, you know. I saw myself going over there with the Bible. You know, the Lord spoke to me and says, things are happening over there through the tapes. Don't ruin it. Now, I'm sharing things with you. Don't ruin it. Boy, what a deflator. But you know, you always got to seek the will of the Lord. Even people told me, oh, you should go over. Oh, just imagine. Wow, they're inviting you to come over. Wow, ooh, ah. Oh, God. How many neurotics we have on the counter, they're not looking towards the will of the Lord. Oh, God. I had a woman in the other day, I talk about a neurotic. She was the picture of anxiousness, the picture of a helpless invalid, afraid to lift a hand, afraid to breathe a breath, surrounded by their family. And the whole family was sacrificed because of her fears, because of her worries, because of her anxiousness. Was not with the will of the Lord. That's why so many times I find myself, oh, I say, oh God, I don't want to lose your peace. What is your will? And you know what? It looks so obvious that it's the will of the Lord for you to do something to everybody else. Well, sure, it's so obvious. Go do that and do this. Can't you see? Are you blind? But you know what? If you don't do what the Lord tells you to do, you lose all your peace. Praise the Lord. You guys are getting ministered to tonight, aren't you? Praise Jesus.
Isaiah 8, verse 11. For thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power, instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, you are not to say, it is a conspiracy. In regard to all that this people call conspiracy, and you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts who you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread. If you fear anything, he's saying, fear me and dread me, but don't fear anything else. Oh, God, how we need a fear of the Lord. We do things because we don't fear God, don't we? Don't we do things because we don't fear God? If we fear God, God will keep us on the straight and narrow. In Psalm 41, in verse 8, a wicked thing is poured out upon him. No, let's go back to verse 7 here. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him. Oh. There's a preacher here in town that they conspired against. They said, oh, a wicked thing has been poured out against him. They said that when he lies down, he will not rise up again. Oh, God. And even my close friend in whom I trusted. Oh, isn't that terrible when your close friends let you down? Who ate my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Now, it wasn't bad enough that he had ate with this person, was a friend of this person, but he lifted up his heel against him. Give him the boot. Ooh. But thou, O Lord, be gracious to me. Raise me up that I may repay them. Wow. Well, you know, this is the Old Testament. But we have one that goes a little bit further. Of course, Jesus was raised up and he defeated all the foes too, so it is okay. But Jesus also forgave. Let me read one more piece of scripture here. And this is Isaiah 43 in verse 4. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. Didn't Jesus say, fear not, for I am with you always? I remember some time back I was wrestling with a lot of decisions and things about this ministry on the north side down here. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Oh, God. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who's called by my name. And that's why it's so important to preach the wonderful, glorious gospel to this mixed up, fearful, worrying world. And whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Tonight, I know I ministered to a lot of folks, not only here but on the radio. People that have fallen into scorn, people who have not had their own way and have fallen into scorn. What they thought was the way that they should go, but was not the will of God. Count it all joy. Pray for the will of the Lord in your life. Whether it be the part of a martyr, then you have nothing to fear. Praise the Lord. Nothing. You know what I'm talking about, right?
about that fear he used to have. God, isn't that terrible? Isn't it, honey, huh? Oh, precious. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior, honey? Do you? Do you, honey? Have you asked him to come into your heart and save you? Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Now's the time. Don't put it off until another day. Ooh, there's miracles happening left and right as the Spirit of the Lord comes. You know what? You haven't seen anything yet. And there is going to come a war between light and dark like you've never seen before. And the reason that I minister about fear and worry in the house of God is because there's a lot of them that fear and worry and these different things that are coming on. People are going back into themselves again and seeking other ways out. There is no other way out. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you came tonight, honey. So glad you came tonight. God bless you. Lord, I just lift up these two sisters in the mighty name of Jesus. Just lift them up right now, Lord, that all the anxieties and frustrations and fears and doubts and all the things that, Lord, have been hindering them in the mighty name of Jesus be exposed for what they are, the evil one working in this end time. God, we just pray that you bring their lives back together again, Lord God, and just give them that great peace that's up and over that hill and on beyond, way beyond, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That the gospel message is so true and so powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Glory to God that these two sisters tonight receive and get busy in the working out of the gospel, for the gospel is their life. Hallelujah. Lord, right now we just ask that you lift them up and lift their families up and these problems that have beset them and their families in Jesus' name and put them together again as they dare to be the one to say, I am sorry. In Jesus' name, I am sorry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for the deliverance on these two sisters right now. And we know that you have touched them tonight, Lord, and delivered them of these fears and anxiousness that's been here. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, we just love you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone in here, I'm going to repeat again, that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anyone? There's two people in the back there. Are you born again? Okay. Have I missed anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Jesus.
Slid a little bit. Yes.
You want to rededicate your life tonight?
Yes.
See, you're saved, and once you're saved, you're always saved, but we're going to rededicate your life tonight, okay? Just pray after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you are always with me.
Thank you that you're always with me.
And God, I just thank you that your word is true, that you'll never leave and never forsake. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to walk in the way now. And I will just look unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for the anxiousness and fear that we feel just leaving this man right now in Jesus' name. Cast out forever, Lord God, in Jesus' name, as he just now boldly ministers the gospel message, Lord, without peeking through little rat holes in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this precious man. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. We're sure glad that you're here tonight. God bless you. The Lord touched it, didn't he? Yes. God bless you. Isn't that great? Don't you get excited? Oh, God.
Gee, just look at this beautiful guy here, all teared up. I mean, hey, what else is there? My God. Nothing. You know what? I can hardly wait until tomorrow. Sometimes I don't even go to bed. I'm so busy waiting for the next day to happen. I mean, I am wound up. I think my legs even go while I'm in bed. The sheets are all messed up, aren't they, Jen? She always gets after me. She says, you know what? You pull all the covers over that way. Woo, let's get wound up. Now, just two quick comments.